JC Corcoran Podcast.
There's a weird little personal connection we have here. Oh, my wife's from St. Louis, and in St. Louis, there's this pizza called Emo's Pizza. Now, I heard that you love this pizza.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering why, because it's very, very bad pizza.
No, it's not. First of all, that
Guillermo,
is so
bring the
mean
pizza
to...
out here. Bring the pizza out.
Okay, I'll go get
yes,
it.
Will you?
Provel is the best.
Provel is,
yes,
the
is.
World's most disgusting cheese.
No, it's not. Seriously, we could fight right now.
Now, here's the thing that's... No, please don't. I don't want to get beat up. But here's the thing. We got one from Emo's, and they're very nice people. I want to say, Guillermo, put it right. I want to say these people are very nice people. But, but like, Provel is like to provolone what Velveeta is to cheddar. Oh, that's not a joke. That's just a description.
I don't discriminate against cheese.
I got this for my wife for Valentine's Day one year, and I was like, hey, would you like some? Would you like any?
I'll have after. You know, we have a show tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Well, and I said, and I put it in the oven because they sent it frozen, and I put it in the oven, and I heated it up, and they cut it into, like, little rectangles.
It's perfect.
And I tasted it. And I said, oh, no, I think there's something wrong. And I thought I accidentally melted the plastic onto the cheese. My wife tasted it. She goes, no, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah. It's so good.
Mm.
Okay, score 1 out of 10.
Well, sometimes you get to know the judges.
Yeah.
And they give you a better score. Actually, this one's better than the last one I had. It's almost as good as a supermarket frozen pizza.
It's a perfect 10.
We got to move you to Brooklyn. That's where you need to be.
Okay.
You need to be in Brooklyn so you can have real pizza.
We do have a tour stop there. So if you have any recommendations.
One, I am going to shower you with. There are going to be pizzas stacked up. I'd say higher than you, but that's not that many pizzas.
I know.
There will be a tower of pizzas for you when you arrive.
Okay.
Well, it's great to meet you.
Thank you.
The show is, tickets are on sale. The tour is called Gold Over America Tour. Go to goldoveramericatour.com. Simone Biles, everyone. Thank you. We'll be back with the Doobie Brothers.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, October 12th, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. If you missed me yesterday, well, I was on this Southwest flight, and it was always part of the plan to have Columbus Day off, so we took yesterday off. But, oh, God, I feel for these people. A real-life planes, trains, and automobiles situation where Southwest Airlines, and what the hell is going on? You know, some people are saying it's a COVID thing, you know, where there's mandates in terms of vaccinations, and other people are saying, no, the numbers are exactly what they should be in terms of how many people on an average weekend, request off or call in sick or whatever the case may be. Something odd is going on inside Southwest Airlines. There was one guy, they did a story about it. He, everything's all filled up. All the hotels are filled. People were smart to quickly grab the hotels because they saw this situation worsening. So, boom, right away, let's get a hotel. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a Motel 6. I'm not sleeping on the floor of the airport. That blows. So everything was taken. All the rental cars were taken. So some guy said, I'm calling U-Haul. And he calls U-Haul, and he gets a truck, and he drives 500 miles in the truck home from, I don't know, wherever it was, but that's not important. The idea is good old Yankee ingenuity. There are people who were traveling last Thursday and Friday who are still in airports today, here on Tuesday, because they can't get this thing resolved, and it's frightening. It's so scary. You know, we're in Florida now until Christmas. We'll be back in St. Louis in Christmas. And by the way, a brisk 59 degrees across the St. Louis region this morning. And after the big rock and roll situation, particularly in Metro East and parts of Illinois yesterday, man, is there going to be a temperature crash here in about 3 days. In about 3 days across the Midwest, it'll be temperatures, high temperatures, somewhere in the low 60s, meaning 50s most of the day, and overnight lows in the mid-40s. And if you're listening in the sticks in Missouri or Illinois, that even could get down to the upper 30s. All of that coming here in about 3 days. But it is interesting how the meteorologists can tell us sometimes 2-3 days in advance, you know, put a big swath over the Midwest and say, here's where people are going to have a problem in 3 or 4 days. I find that fascinating. Nothing on the radar. It's not like a snowstorm, you know, where you see something, you know, out spinning out of New Mexico and coming right up 44, and it's only a matter of time before it gets to the St. Louis region. This is, these things are, there's nothing on the radar. There's nothing there. But they have the computers, obviously, and they run these models, and they're like, in 2 or 3 days, watch out here. We were in that swath yesterday, and that is the deal. But I'll tell you this, when Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel shows up in your community, you might as well bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. You don't want to see him getting out of the truck. I guess it was, what, 2018 and 2019, we had situations in St. Louis. Well, the 2018 one was the one where people were trying to go home on a Friday evening, and there was so much ice and everything all over the roads that people were stuck all over the interstates, all over the place. And you'll remember that Friday night. I had one friend who works in Chesterfield, lives in South County, and it took her 6 hours to get home. 6 hours from Chesterfield to South County. And you wonder why I bug out of St. Louis when the weather starts getting cold once in a while. But anyway, we'll be back. It's really only a couple of weeks now. Wow. You start looking at that calendar, and it's like you can tell when Christmas is in only weeks. I have yet to see the first Christmas-based commercial, because they usually start them during the football games on Sunday afternoon. I haven't seen one yet. It is the 12th of October, but when I see the first one, I'll let you know, because I have a hunch it's coming even before Halloween. Big story today down here in Florida is the autopsy report on the Gabby Petito thing. They're going to be doing that today. Now, how much of the details they actually tell us, who knows, but they're going to tell us something today, and I guess they'll tell us what the cause of death is, and that's going to tell everybody a lot, potentially. And the other good news, bad news story in the state of Florida is that the Tampa Bay Rays got eliminated by the Boston Red Sox last night. It was a little bit of a surprise, but then you turn right around and Kansas City, man, they're falling like a rock as far as the Vegas odds makers are concerned. They were the preseason pick to repeat a Super Bowl appearance and win the damn thing. And now, what are they? I think they're 2-3 now. And now it's back to Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as the odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl. Are the Houston Astros cheating again? Or is it just one of those things where, you know, you always want to try to get in the mind of your opponent? And that's true of pretty much everything. It's true in sports. It was true in the early radio wars. When I say early, I'm talking about my early days in St. Louis back in the 80s. You know, you wanted to, you if you were driving into work and you knew ahead of time that you were in the mind of your competitors as they were driving to work, oh man, you can't have anything better than that. You just can't. But now it's a question of, are the Astros actually cheating, or so are people so spooked, other baseball players so spooked on other teams that they're convinced the Astros are still cheating, but they're not. But sometimes having your opponent think that you're trying to get away with something is just as good as actually doing the cheating itself. And then, you know, the White Sox, Tony La Russa's team. Now, they had to cancel the game yesterday because of the tornado threats in northern Illinois, so they'll play that game today. But, oh, and with regard to stealing, they asked Tony La Russa, do you think there's anything that Major League Baseball can do to keep players from stealing signs. And in particular, he was asked about a runner who is on second and obviously has a clear view of the pitcher and, most importantly, the catcher who's putting the signs down. And he's standing there. If they can decipher the code, and there's lots of different codes that teams use, you know, you'll see a guy flash five fingers and then three, and then one, and then two, and then three, and then one, and two. And you're like, well, how the hell would you know what to pitch? Well, maybe they're saying take the third sign. Or in one case, I had a guy who was catching for me, and he was convinced the guy on second was stealing signs. So he said, subtract the fifth from the third. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're not going to ask me to stand out here and do math, are you? But Tony La Russa came up with two of the dumber suggestions. Really sort of surprised for Tony, because I like Tony, but this is really dumb. To combat sign stealing by runners on second base, he said that Major League Baseball should install a rule that when the catcher puts down the sign, the runner on second has to turn his back on home plate. What? What could possibly go wrong? You know, there's a video, and it's the weirdest thing. John Cusack is a Chicago actor. You know him from great movies like Cameron Crowe thing, Say Anything. Oh, that Grifters movie with Annette Bening was so good. And even though the guy he played in High Fidelity was such a jerk, he still gave a good performance. And he's one of those guys that, you know, doesn't travel with a big entourage. You know, he's not going to be one of these guys who's going to pull up in a limo and get out and, you know, cause a lot of disturbance and then wave to the crowd and they're on the other side of the ropes and everything like that. That's not the kind of guy he is. He's been going to Cub games and White Sox games in Chicago for years and years and years. He grew up on the north side, which should make him a Cubs fan, but he partakes, shall we say, of both Chicago Major League Baseball franchises. And he just sort of comes and goes. He's also tall. He's really tall. I don't mean Skip Weber tall, but he's not a little guy. And this video is online, some mental midget confronts John Cusack going into the ball game at whatever they're calling that ballpark right now. I mean, I grew up 5 miles from the old Comiskey Park, and they built the new stadium right next to it, but they keep changing the name. But anyhow, he confronts Cusack outside the ballpark and starts giving him shit about the fact that you cannot be both a Cubs fan and a White Sox fan. You can't do it. And Cusack engages the guy. I think he probably figured, man, this guy is really dumb. Let's just see what happens. And so they're standing nose to nose. Now, Cusack is a lot taller than this guy. And the guy is giving him all sorts of shit about the fact that you can't be on the north side and the south side. You can't like both teams. And Cusack's just like, well, why not? It's stupid. People just manufacture things to be able to have a physical confrontation with another human being these days. I don't get it. I grew up in Chicago. I lived there until I was in my early 20s. I was raised as a Cub fan. I moved to St. Louis in 1984 and immediately became a Cardinal fan. But I never gave up my like of the team that I grew up watching when I was a kid. And when people give me shit about it, I always turn it around. I go, okay, you're from St. Louis. You were raised a Cardinal fan, but now you get a job in Chicago. And you've been in Chicago for several decades. You're telling me you really would not go to a baseball game in Chicago. You would deprive yourself of the opportunity to see Major League Baseball teams, two of them in the case of Chicago, and you wouldn't go to a Cubs or a White Sox game spread over two or three decades. You wouldn't go. Yeah, how dumb do I look? Because I don't think I look dumb. Speaking of baseball, and this is going to be I have to turn around and back into this story a little bit. Why was the president of the United States, the real one, not the guy who claims he still is, why was Joe Biden at the wedding of Megan O'Toole King? And if that name sounds familiar, Megan O'Toole King used to be Megan O'Toole King Edmonds. That was Jim Edmonds' wife until they had this messy, incredibly messy divorce when he was involved in three ways with the babysitter and everything like that. Anyhow, the reason that the president was at the wedding of Megan was because she married his nephew. Guy is a 42-year-old attorney based out of Los Angeles and has very, very, very long hair. He sort of looks like he would take longer to get ready to go out than she would. Anyhow, he only recently went public with his relationship with Megan. It is the third marriage for Megan O'Toole King Edmonds Cuff, C-U-F-F-E. That's the last name of the new guy. It says here, remember her last marriage to former MLB star Jim Edmonds ended in a messy divorce complete with a nude text messaging scandal and alleged infidelity with their nanny. Yep, he hit the trifecta, didn't he? I purposely didn't do this story first because I think this is sort of disgusting that such a big deal is being made out of this. Superman is coming out as bisexual in all the comics. This Superman is John Kent, the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane. In the November 9th issue, he becomes romantically involved with a college friend who is of the same sex. David Arquette. You want to talk about a no-talent ass clown there. He recently bought the rights to Bozo the Clown, and he says he has big plans. Here's the quote. You have to kind of think of it as Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. End quote. So this is going to be a Bozo-verse? The hell is he talking about? Dave Chappelle's new special on Netflix, The Closer, has offended some trans people. The Netflix folks say they don't believe the show is designed to, quote, incite hate or violence. Smash Mouth, real name Steve Harwell, and he's had a couple of incidents like this. He plays like, you know, state fairs and everything that, you know, now that Eddie Money is dead, he plays all the stuff that Eddie Money is. Smash Mouth would sing before a cockfight if he was offered the opportunity. So he shows up at a gig over the weekend, swearing at the crowd, dropping drinks, and giving a Nazi salute. He recently missed a few gigs due to some heart issues. And a new singer called Connor Smith released a song on Friday called I Hate Alabama. And people are saying it jinxed the football team over the weekend because they lost the next day. First loss in 680 days. I have friends who are Alabama fans, and I don't understand the appeal of a franchise or a team or something like that that you know is going to win basically every time. What fun is that? That's just gluttony, and it points out the imbalance that exists in the NCAA. That's one of the reasons I don't really follow any college football stuff. You know, Mizzou has a couple of those softy, and they're all the teams do. I'm not picking out Mizzou. I'm just using it as an example. But it's like, okay, today we're playing Altissima Beauty College, and the score is 77-0, and I don't understand how that's entertainment for people, and I don't understand how it's entertaining for people to sit there and you got a 99.9% chance of winning every game you play. Part of the appeal of watching sports is the athleticism, but also the uncertainty. You don't know if you're going to win or you're going to lose. By now, you know that John Gruden has resigned as head coach of the Vegas Raiders. They found some old emails where he said a lot of racist, sexist, and homophobic stuff. I don't know if I would like Danica Patrick as a person. We had her on the air, and she was feisty, let's put it that way. But you cannot deny that she is in just incredible, incredible shape. She does yoga, and I've seen pictures of her in, like, bikinis and just really small swimsuits, and she is just in remarkable shape. I don't know how old she is right now. She's got to be in her 40s somewhere, I would think, late 30s. Anyhow, she just completed the Boston Marathon. As I'm thinking about this, she might be more like late 30s. How old is Danica Patrick?
Danica Patrick is 39 years old.
I missed it by one. Wasn't here yesterday, but it was an anniversary back in 1975 of the debut of Saturday Night Live. And I remember it vividly. And there were all sorts of things that went on in those first couple of seasons that people still don't know a lot about. They were at one point considering a permanent host of the show rather than having somebody different out there. Can you imagine how things would have changed with regard to the history of SNL if they had done that. One of the people they were talking to about it, as a matter of fact, was David Letterman. And that would have changed everything, too. We probably never would have had Late Night with David Letterman. And that wouldn't have been any good. But there were a lot of things like that back in the early days. And people always talk about, oh, I remember Saturday Night Live when it was funny. And every couple of years, you know, the show will stumble a little bit. The cast isn't really together yet, or the writing is substandard. And maybe Saturday Night Dead. Ha ha ha. Get it? I changed it from live to dead. Show's been on the air, 46 years, and people are still saying, well, it's run its course. You should pull it off the air. It's not funny anymore. Translated, you don't find it funny because you're a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, and you don't like the fact that they're making jokes about Trump and stuff like that. They have some extraordinarily talented people on that show right now. It's as good as ever. You'll probably recall that was probably maybe, 15, 20 years ago, there was a movie called Armageddon, Billy Bob Thornton and I think Bruce Willis and some other people in it. And it was, here comes the big asteroid towards Earth, and it's going to just blow us right out of the solar system. My gosh, what do we do? Well, what we do is we send people into outer space with bombs, and then you blow up the asteroid. And I always thought to myself, it wouldn't take something falling out of outer space bigger than the size of a school bus to really wreak havoc and probably, if not wipe out civilization, certainly put a noticeable dent in it, let's put it that way. So why is the Armageddon theory, why does that make no sense? Well, because all you're doing is you're taking a big asteroid and you're breaking it up into little pieces, all of which are still going to penetrate Earth's atmosphere, hit the planet Earth. And I remember thinking when the movie was out, well, this is dumb. That's not even helping. Well, it turns out I was right. Neil deGrasse Tyson says that if a comet was heading toward us, we shouldn't blow it up because we don't know what the pieces would do. Quote, it's safer and it's more controlled to deflect an asteroid from harm's way. End quote. Tonight on ABC, 9 o'clock, something called A Night at the Academy Museum. Tom Hanks and Laura Dern host a special about the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. Late Night Tonight, Daniel Craig, that would be your James Bond. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Larry David is on with Kimmel. Colbert is in repeats with Anderson Cooper. And Seth Meyers has Senator Elizabeth Warren. Season 11 of Curb Your Enthusiasm. We're going to have some pretty big guest stars. Jon Hamm, Woody Harrelson, Bill Hader, Vince Vaughn, Tracy Ullman, Kaley Cuoco, and comedian Patton Oswalt. Birthdays today, Hugh Jackman, 53. He's the Wolverine, you know. Jesus Christ Superstar opened on Broadway on this date, 1971. Exactly 50 years ago today. 42 years ago, 1979, Fleetwood Mac released Tusk. That was the one with Sarah. It was their 12th album. But in a conversation I had with Lindsey Buckingham a couple of years ago.
Final two questions, and they're quickies. Tusk, title track, MTV video, Dodger Stadium, the USC marching band. When you marry someone, you think you know all their deepest, darkest secrets. Did you know that Stevie was proficient at twirling a baton?
I did. Yes, I had seen her do that much earlier. But you're right, it wasn't something that came up too often.
Yeah, right.
I just watched Notting Hill on cable a couple of weeks ago. It was running every couple of hours there for a couple of weeks. And the song Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers is used beautifully in that movie. I got a chance to see Bill Withers do that song live at Erie Crown Theater in Chicago back sometime in the 1970s. I don't know when it was. When he wrote Ain't No Sunshine, he was working at a factory making toilet seats for airplanes, and he intended to write more lyrics for the part where he repeats, I know, 26 times. I know, I know, I know, I know. But other musicians told him to leave it where it was. And that now famous gangster phrase, bada bing, was actually improvised by James Caan in The Godfather, but it became such a catchphrase for mobster movies in real life. 39% of adults say they work out 0 times per week. That isn't just going to the gym. It's any physical activity for at least 20 minutes. And the states with the least active residents, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Indiana. Is coffee becoming less and less popular, or is it just something you don't Leon until you're older and more exhausted. I don't know. I don't drink coffee. I never have. It's one little part of Americana I'm sort of missing. But a new survey found that young adults are drinking way less coffee than the rest of us. 63% of Gen Z adults say they never drink it. That's compared to 33% of millennials, 34% of Gen Xers, and 29% of baby boomers who never drink coffee. Gen Zers who do drink coffee are also less likely to drink a lot of it. Only 6% say they have more than one or two cups a day. For all other age groups, around 20% drink multiple cups a day, and 2% of older adults say they drink at least 7 cups a day. In a new poll, just 2% of adults say they know a good magic trick. Another 16% know a magic trick, but they said it wasn't very good, and a whopping 78% of people say they don't know any magic tricks. Magic is not magic. We all know it's just sleight of hand, but it's the fucking magicians themselves that are insufferable, always with that stupid grin on their face and that wild, unbridled look of anticipation, like, ooh, you're not going to believe what you're going to see. Your eyes aren't going, ooh, watch this. What did I just do there? What? While you were thinking about, look what I did. I pulled a rabbit out. And it's like, oh, jeez, shut up. We know what you're doing isn't even magic. It's just sleight of hand that you really practiced for a long time to make it look like it's magic, but it's, never mind. And if you're bored today, you can dig around on the internet until they pull it down. I'm sure they're going to have to pull it down pretty soon here. The Philadelphia Eagles came from behind to beat the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, but the game apparently wasn't exciting enough for two fans, one of which tried to come from behind in real life, if you know what I mean. There are videos making the rounds online showing a man and a woman doing something together in a stall at a men's restroom at the ball game. It's unclear what's happening, but you can see both of their feet under the stall. Something is going on. By the time the videos start, the fairly large crowd has already gathered, including a few cops. They knock on the door and ask them to come out. As that's happening, the crowd starts chanting, "Let him finish! Let him finish!" And the cops let him finish! The door eventually opens. They both walk out. The girl is hot, by the way. The man is put in handcuffs, but according to reports, they were not arrested. They were both fully clothed when the cops arrived, and so they weren't able to confirm that they were really doing anything illegal. That said, it's against policy for a woman to be in the men's room, so they were both thrown out of the stadium. And if I'm them, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Okay, so we were doing something in a stall where nobody could see anything. We weren't bothering anybody. But now go back a couple of years and watch that halftime show with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira shaking their half-naked asses all over the stage for 20 minutes in the much-anticipated and highly focused halftime show. They're fine. You don't put them in handcuffs. You don't escort them out of the ballpark. Something's wrong here. And George Clooney says he's not going to get into politics because he wants to enjoy the rest of his life. Why the hell then did he get married and have kids? Tom Bergeron said he was fired from Dancing with the Stars over disagreements with the show's producers. For example, he had this wild idea of bringing in actual stars. William Shatner's space flight has been delayed by a day. Apparently, they're still working on his anti-gravity toupee. The new Superman, who we mentioned, is going to come out as gay or bisexual in the new comic books. Not going to be a lot of major differences, except the S on his chest now stands for sassy. And Donald Trump's Washington, D.C. hotel lost $70 million while he was president. They will be able to make up for it, though, by selling about 6 bags of nuts from the minibar. And a guy in Brazil says his cell phone saved his life last Thursday when it stopped a bullet during an armed robbery. This reminds me of one of my favorite, all-time favorite, Norm MacDonald weekend update jokes. It was a guy working the desk all night of a hotel, and a guy came in and tried to rob him, and ended up shooting him. The guy behind the desk had a knife in his pocket. The bullet hit the knife and ricocheted off and saved his life. And Norm said, you live in a violent society when people are getting shot in the knife. And with that, we say that's it. Tuesday, October 12th version of JCOnTheLine.com, the JC Corcoran podcast right here. We publish every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. It's free. We archive all the shows right here. You can email me at JC@JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Thanks to our technical wizard, Everett Marshall. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran podcast.